you need the physical trauma that you go through. Your emotional trauma is just as harsh. And even my doctor said, you know, you're going to heal from this. And she's like, your physical part will actually heal faster than your mental. And, oh God, she's so right. Because the next few days were extremely difficult.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales, and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Today's topic is a bit grim, so beware.
Yeah, we are letting you know ahead of time that there's some heavy heavy topics that we will be discussing here. So as the title indicates, money and miscarriage. And just letting you guys know, beware, protect your energy, protect your heart. If you don't want to listen to it right now, turn it off and come back later.
Or send it to someone that really needs to hear it.
Exactly. Exactly.
I laugh because that's my, I deflect, right? I mean, people say you laugh or you smile when you're going through some crap. We're going to keep it PG. And no, once in a while, it might slip, but Vera knows me so well. And I thought, because I'm in it, how you say when you're in your moments of darkness or just frustration or whatever it is, you either revert as a hermit, which I felt like I have been the last few weeks, or you just get angry enough that you're like, you know what, this needs to be said.
Right.
So thanks, Vera, for having this hard topic with me, because I think it will be somewhat therapeutic for myself, but it's also, you and I, that's what we do. We talk about taboos.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it's all about, especially I think, I don't hear these conversations happen too often amongst Latinas. It's like a definite taboo in the Latino culture.
Yeah.
And I think, it's very cliche to say you're so brave, Natalie, but it is really courageous of you and brave to be able to share this story, especially that you're you're in it right now. So you've shared a couple of posts and people have really resonated, because it's hard, and it's hard and it's expensive, you guys. Let's just is financially savvy in 20 minutes, so that's something to consider. Tell us whatever it is you want to share.
Well, you and I have been planning. I mean, most people know it, as podcasters, we plan ahead, and we recorded how many episodes with, wonderful guests, and, preparing, talking about my pregnancy. And so, unfortunately, before most of them were about to be released, I found out I had a silent miscarriage. And a silent miscarriage means you don't actually have any physical change or symptoms. So I was still having the morning sickness. I'm still looking pregnant. My body was still releasing the hormones, no spotting, no blood, none of that. And it was during a routine checkup that we find out that our baby had stopped growing and the heartbeat was confirmed. And so we were in complete shock. And really the days after that were just a blur, in the sense where we're like, is this for reals? And because I hadn't technically lost it or miscarried or bled or anything, it was a real mental strain. I had to schedule what they call a DNC procedure, which is a surgery called dilated and Cutteridge. I'm saying it right. Cutteridge. Yeah. Anyways. And it was an option that I had to really think about. I did research on it. I spoke to a few family and friends that had gone through themselves. And I felt very fortunate that I had people in my life that were not only brave enough to share their story, because I was obviously trying to figure out my decision. And you know me, as I started doing research, it becomes this like overwhelming black hole of other research. And so the more I saw the options that you have, depending how far along you're on your pregnancy, you can do the pill, which will help you pass it at home. But my doctor even said, you have to be mentally and physically prepared for that. She's like, you know, 'cause you're doing everything at home, like getting rid of the placenta, the umbilical cord, anything, everything on your own.
Anything that grew right inside.
Yeah, exactly. And be prepared to bleed a lot. And I spoke with a few dear friends and family members, and some had even experienced, they did the pill, but they still had to eventually do the surgery because they hadn't stopped bleeding. So it was like a double whammy. And
wow.
For me, I wanted to do the surgery because I felt like it'd be the easier route, even though it still wasn't. It just meant I was going to be, you know, asleep and then anesthesia and then wake up and it'd be taken care of basically. But in the process too, I'm extremely grateful for one, the support I've had. You were one of those people, like I told you right away, because obviously we were really getting ready to publish a few episodes like in the next few days. And the thing about that is I found out I was lucky our insurance covered a big portion, majority of it, but we still had to pay thousands of dollars out of pocket.
Yeah.
And I think about, it made me think about women or couples in general that don't have the financial or the emotional support either to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And the first few days were extremely rough. We only told our close friends and our family members about the pregnancy. I'm 40, I'm high risk. But then that's something they tell all women when they're pregnant. It doesn't matter what age you are. And it made me run really angry because I thought, I understand there's a reasoning behind it and what goes. And obviously it's your choice what you decide to do, but it automatically sets us up to mourn in silence if something were to happen, right? If nobody knows that you're going through this. And I found a TED Talk in the middle of the night. There was so many sleepless nights. I couldn't sleep. I'd wake up all night. And so I watched a TED Talk and I can't remember the name right now. We'll have to put in the show notes, but she discussed her 4 miscarriages and how many couples mourn in silence because no one knows. And my doctor and many, I've heard this from others, that said that most women will choose to take the pill on a Friday. So eventually maybe 24, 48 hours later, you'll begin to pass the, you know, your fetus baby, whatever you want to call it. And then that way you can be back basically at work by Monday. And if, especially if your coworkers don't know, it's kind of that way, but I'm thinking you need the physical trauma that you go through.
Right.
Your emotional trauma is just as harsh. And, even my doctor said, you know, you're going to heal from this. And she's like, your physical part will actually heal faster than your mental.
Yeah.
And, oh God, she's so right. Because the next few days were, extremely difficult. It's the worst feeling walking into the hospital, being pregnant and, you know, planning for this life. And then you walk out not pregnant and without your baby. And, it's those moments that you just kind of like, okay, what's the next step? We start to, kind of plan a different life again. And, and then anyone that's lost anyone, right? If you've lost someone dear to you, we go through so many different stages of grief and mourning. And, you know, there was days where I couldn't get up. I didn't want to eat. I definitely didn't feel like cooking. And you end up spending money on takeout. Or, you know, my poor husband has been so supportive, but he would go to work and, like, you know, almost he had to act like nothing had happened. And he had told some of his students, which I know that was heartbreaking for him because some were like so excited for him. And, you know, for us, this has been such a long journey for us, you know, 8 years and trying. And so it was definitely devastating and still is. But I talked to you about it before posting and I talked to my husband about it. I was like, I want to share. I feel like sharing would help me grieve a little. And then for those people that have no idea, and there was a few people I hadn't told that I had lost it that were really close to me. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't have the energy to call them. I just called my parents and my mother-in-law, you know, and they cried with us as well too. And so I remember just thinking, you know, it took me a lot to write that post. And that was a post that I was sharing my belly too. I hadn't posted, like we were really planning to do all that stuff. And I didn't even want to take, you know, picture. But I was like, you know what, I wanted to honor it, you know, cause I felt like, oh, I should have had an opportunity to be in that happiness and be, you know, you want to tell the whole world. And so, unfortunately it had to be a sad post sharing what we had gone through. But, I realized I got so many direct messages from people I've never known and many that I did. And then obviously comments of, you know, women that had, and couples that had lost baby as well and never talked about it and never shared, and how alone they felt too, and just the things that they were going through. And sometimes it's hard, right?
It's hard. And as I want to just, I'm for one so grateful that you have a career where you can work from home or anywhere, so that you can take the time to be with yourself. And when you just said, like, there's women that take it on a Friday so they can go back to work by Monday and have no one, sometimes no one to share it with, or the husband is also grieving on their own and they need somebody, you know, it's hard to be each other's support system when you're both in that kind of grief. Oh. And yeah, it's really, I don't know. They don't give days off for heartbreak, you know? And I think
it needs to change. And I forget, I have to find this article. I saw one that I believe it's in New Zealand or Australia where they actually provide leave for miscarriages. And I applaud them for that, because I'm like, it really is a death in the family. It's one of the most devastating for many couples. And, you know, the cost that comes with it, you know, that's what we talk about in this podcast, is, you know, not just like making those money moves, but it's what we need to prepare for. And not to say you want to go into pregnancy with doom or any of that, but
no, but just, you know, like with anything, you prepare.
If your family and friends know that you're going, you know, that you're pregnant, and then they know, they find out that you've lost, they can step up as well. Because, you know, there was a few days, like, my mom was incredibly amazing, but, you know, there was a few days where I had a couple friends that sent me, you were one of them, like, flowers, they sent me food, and it meant the world, because literally there was days I'm like, I can't eat, I can't get up, or, you know, and, you know, it's, you're already having, and you know me, I'm frugal, I hate spending money I don't need to, and the fact that I know spending money on, so much money on our baby that's not here, and so, you know, there's these griefs of anger, and I hear people say retail therapy, and it happens, you know, since you're like, I'm just going to be happy if I buy this, you know, sweets, or, you know, go shopping online or whatever to numb the sadness. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, with all types of depression, we have, outlets, and sometimes it is through shopping, or it is through, you know, doing takeout or whatever, or just for you to cope. And even my therapist, I had to, you know, email her, and I'm like, so, and I had one session with her a month before, because I was just so extremely happy and feeling great. And, you know, I said, hey, we got to schedule something ASAP. And she's been there with me, so she's seen me through some difficult things. And so it's kind of like, I told her, I still feel I'm in it, which I am, but I still feel, like you just said it, that I have a career that can do this, but it's been playing with so much of my mind, where I had been planning for this baby for so long that I've let go of so many job opportunities, you know, speaking engagements, literally the year in advance, because I knew I wasn't going to be able to travel. I'm, you know, getting ready for this. And so that type of anger starts with me, because I'm like, oh, like I had to let go of that, you know? And then the frustration of, well, that's some of the income I was planning not to have. And I know a lot of couples don't have that luxury. And it doesn't mean that we have really, that's as well, because even that, I'm just like, oh, you know, that's there, that happened. But I think about women that do go through this alone, whether they have miscarriages or abortions, and the fact that they don't have this financial and emotional support. And they're not prepared when it does happen. Like for us, I really had to find out, okay, if I go with, you know, my doctor here or my OBGYN, what would have been, one would have had a little bit more out of pocket. The other would have been, there could have been me paying, you know, double the price if I would have gone to different procedures. And so it's these little things that now I have to heal. Therapy costs money, right? And, you know, all these other things that sometimes we don't take in account. And so if family and friends hear this, this is something that they can step up. And one particular message that was sent through a direct message really was heartfelt. And she said she had a friend who was going through a miscarriage. And she said that she didn't realize that she had to, like, she had previous ones, but she had to mourn on her own and had to like just move on. Mm-hmm. And she was her friend saying that, telling me, she's like, I wish I would have known what you told me then, because I wanted to be a better friend. Mm-hmm. And now I know that she's had to deal with this always on her own. And
yeah.
That meant a lot to me, because I was like, yeah, I guess so. And I haven't even been able to reply to any of those comments, because they've been wonderful and a lot of them heartfelt, very sad comments too. But
you need your own time to process.
Yeah, and I figure eventually I'll get back to them, and you know, definitely want to thank them for sharing. But sometimes when we share, it's either out of frustration or anger. And you know, especially when it's being extremely vulnerable, it's really difficult. And I even played with that one. Like, is that something that's going to help me, or is it going to hurt? Or, but it's also something where I'm like, this needs to be talked about. Like, that's the only reason why you and I talk about taboo subjects. It happens so often. It's what 25% of people go through, right? Of women go through miscarriages, and we don't talk, and stillbirth. So we don't talk about this. If it's 1 in 4 of our friends go through this, I'm literally the 1 in my 4 friends.
Yeah. And the lack of emergency funds that, you know, not everyone has a small emergency fund. Not everyone has health insurance. Even if you think, well, everyone's supposed to have health insurance now, they still don't. The resources that women have for free medical care, those sometimes get very limited based on policy as well. So, I mean, right now we're talking about, you know, the abortion issue in the Supreme Court. So, it's just these stories, what you're going through, I think it just helps everyone understand, and hopefully, you know, eases somebody's heart out there that's really grieving as well, because no one is alone in this.
And it's a hard subject. And, you know, we're in California, so we are really fortunate that we have even free resources, right? There's Planned Parenthood, there's different mm-hmm. clinics, there's foundations that will help. But, you know, there's so many states, especially in the Midwest, where there's literally only one clinic left. And, you know, people have to not only drive, but they have to find a hotel. I mean, this is hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to go out of their way to get the help that they need. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that, you know, unfortunately, women's bodies are still a conversation of men, which I'm like, no one should have the choice but the woman to have her choice to do what she needs to do with her body. But it's those kind of things.
The resources, we should have the resources to not feel suffocated mm-hmm. or held back, or, you know, you do these things because you can't go to the doctor. It's too expensive that you, you know, go online and check to see how you can pass it through your body, you know?
And what resources, you just said it, how do you reach out to people? Like, I mean, I even had to do some research on certain organizations that provide free resources or support groups. Like, I had so many awesome people send me like their Facebook groups and other, I was trying to find it as we speak, healing processes, like as far as like meditations I'm a meditation person. I think I've heard of every meditation out there category, but like meditation for healing, for miscarriage, from grief, from clearing the womb, you know, just anything that you can think of. But also just kind of like having that support with other people that have gone through something like that. Mm. You've been extremely helpful. Like, that's something I think it's for those that are hearing that, you know, you don't have kids, but you not only have you stepped up, but you talk about like, this is what we need to do, is be there for those people that are going through something. And when it comes to heartache and depression, it takes a toll, not just physically, mentally, but mm-hmm. financially, extremely. Mm-hmm.
People like to categorize, oh, well, you know, that's miscarriage, or that's this, or that's that. It's still heartache. It's still depression. It's still hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing for those of us that aren't experiencing it, just have an open ear, lots of love and patience. And, you know, I think don't judge or say, well, it's going to be okay, you'll try again. No, just listen.
Don't even say that. Yeah.
Just listen.
I read one article. It was the funniest article. And it was like 10 things I hate and about miscarriage. Yeah. And she even said, warning, this is like real, like in the moment piss. And she said it so well. And it was just that. And for me, it was like, I did not want to hear another person say,
right.
it's okay, you can try again, or you know, God wanted an angel sooner. And I'm like, you know what, I could have been okay with God waiting for my angel, you know, and
right.
These things that you would normally would not tell a person that lost someone to cancer, like, yes, it happens all the time, but you're not going to tell that person that's grieving. Right. So it's kind of like, all I wanted to hear was like, I'm sorry. I love you.
That's
I'm
it
for you. That's all you need to.
An open heart and an open ear. That's it. That's it. And
right.
And I think also, like, for a lot of women, they might not choose to be vocal, right? And mm-hmm. So be patient with them. If they don't want to talk about it,
yeah,
then that's okay, okay too.
Oh yeah. It's like, I've had people, I've been wondering, like, reach out, like, you want to talk? And I'm like, I can't, like, there's nothing that would come out. Like, you and I are having a conversation because we've had many already. But there was times where I couldn't even pick up the phone with people that I talked to all the time, because I would just mm-hmm. start falling and crying and thinking, like, what is next? But some of the books that have helped me, I read Spirit Babies was a good one. I cannot remember the author right now, and it's in my room. I should go get it. The other one's Healing Your Grieving Heart After Miscarriage, 100 Practical Ideas for Parents and Families. And one of the things that, you know, I'm always talking about, like, finding, you know, inexpensive ways to take care of yourself. You know, went back to acupuncture. Acupuncture is amazing. And, you know, just having a connection with people that you know are going to help you through this grieving process, because, you know, it's the holiday season too, on top of that, which makes it even 10 times harder to grieve people. And so, you know, just kind of figuring out, like, what needs to be done. And, you know, I'm sure if there's people listening out, if you have resources, please let us know, because that's mm-hmm. something that we want to provide. There's definitely a lot of private Facebook groups that I've gotten from people. And I think the important part is, if people do decide to share, it's obviously their choice. What's helped me is I had no idea how many people, not only that I know personally and love, that have been through this, they've never shared it with others. And then I think, wow, you've grieved on your own from this by yourself and, or with your spouse. And, you know, my husband has been so amazing, where I'm like, I know he tries to not show his sadness, because he doesn't want to make me more sad, but, you know, like, I could tell, you know, obviously it's something that really, affects a couple. And we just had our 9-year wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're obviously being grateful for the things, because we don't want to be stuck in this forever. But it's those things that I know not everyone has that support. And so the financial side, or the money side of miscarriage, is not only the expenses that come after,
yeah.
But, you know, for people to realize that people plan, and sometimes it doesn't happen again for them. Or if it does, it comes with a lot of fear about mm-hmm. how much money you're going to spend again to do all these things, and,
right.
You know, kind of how to revert from it. And so, you know, I tell you all the time, I'm like, I didn't talk about my mental breakdown until 8 years later.
Right.
Nobody, unless they were close to me and my family, knew. And if I wish I would have known, I would have shared much sooner, because I would have healed a lot faster. I hear women all the time that, I mean, women that are like in their 80s that never shared. And I'm like, man, you grieved this whole time, or you've had this pain this whole time. And there's nothing like it when I've lost my family members, grandparents, and close ones, and my father-in-law, and people that I love most. But the difference about, like, losing your unborn, you could say, is it has this mental toll of mm-hmm. guilt and shame, or what it might be, like, oh, what did I do wrong? And, you know, mm-hmm. the doctor's like, you know, nothing wrong. It's the chromosomes, you know, all these things, and you did everything you can. But that, I think, sometimes can be just as detrimental. And so then we make bad financial choices. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's days where I'm like, oh, why did I spend that much money? And I was like, oh, because I'm going through some shit, and hopefully I can return it. And if not, that's just kind of how it goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, you immediately just open yourself up to unconditional love, you know, and then that gets taken away. And, you know, you, again, everyone heals on their own.
Everybody does. And,
in their own way, rather.
Yeah. And everyone experiences different things, whether you've had it for a day, or whether you were, you know, stillborn, like you hear all these different journeys. And the day that I found out I had lost mine, I think Gabby Bernstein, I think it was the same, I'm not sure the same name, but she mentioned she had just lost her 5 months in her pregnancy. And, you know, it's everyone goes through it at different times, but it doesn't take away from the grief, right? And so those that are listening that want to be supportive, you know, for friends or people that are going through it, you know, sometimes just a little sending them a card. If you're like, I don't have money to help, or like, you know, sending them a card or leaving them a voicemail and saying that you're there for there, or, you know, even a simple text does help. But it's just kind of like, we don't treat it as a regular death. Like when someone dies, people show up at your house, they send you food right away. They're at the funeral, they're asking what it is. But when it's a miscarriage, it's like the slight silence. And it's because one, it's difficult for everybody in it, but also most people don't go through it, so they don't know what to do. But if we can make it less expensive for those people going through it, if we can provide them with free resources that are helpful, you know, it's just a little better world to heal from. So I want to leave in a positive note, but I'm not sure how to.
That's so positive. that's so positive, and that's so beautiful. It's just a hope that it becomes easier in whatever way it can for women in the future.
Yeah.
Well, and for couples in general, whether it's surrogates, however you are having and are experiencing childbirth, if you lose something, may it become easier.
Thank you for saying that, surrogates. I had a cousin who did surrogacy for someone, for a lovely couple. She had already her children. And that is it, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, they do it for the money. And I'm like, sometimes no, people want to do it because they want someone else to experience having their child, or, you know, whatever it might be. And you know, you and I are going to have to do a separate episode on this, but, and we could actually talk to a few people that I have in mind right now, but, not just for surrogacy, but for IUIs, for IVFs, for, you know, the endless boxes of pregnancy tests. That's another thing that I'm like, not looking forward to again. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like these, additional costs that I think sometimes a lot of people take for granted. They're like, oh, we got pregnant, we didn't think about it. And it's like, lucky you, you know, like not everyone has that experience. And so that can be extremely costly. And so, you know, we can talk about the differences of doing this here. I know I have two friends that went back to Spain this past year, because in Spain, if you're 40, before you actually turn 40, they will help you if you want to do IVF. They will pay for your IVF. And
I mean, can you believe it?
Yes. Like, I know Argentina, I know other countries do it as well.
The US is so backwards. Yeah. I mean, I know, obviously, if you have a really good health package, like for some of the networks, the studios, like in entertainment, I know a lot of execs that have told me like, no, they will pay for my IVF and everything. I'm like, well, yeah, but you're like in the upper echelon of like,
and you can most likely afford it. Exactly. Right. I have a few friends that are execs too. They're like, oh yeah, my IVF is included in that. I'm like, and you're also the one that's getting paid, you know, well in six figures. So, you know, it's not everybody has that.
For everyone else, like, they're like, nope, out of pocket. You know, or maybe a portion of it, whatever. It's still so expensive, and couples go through it again and again and again, because, you know, why not? It's a desire to have a little being in your life.
And even through adoption, you know, like that's something my husband and I talk about all the time, but it's like, everything comes with some financial responsibility, right? And then obviously the financial responsibility afterwards. But I think it's sometimes that I wish this is a conversation amongst women that we would have had, not just through high school, but on a consistent basis. Like even at work, I think if companies are hearing, if you're hearing this, companies, if you do actual, maybe a workshop together or something, but like how you help a grieving parent that, you know, that just gone through something like this, or what that the company can do to support them. Because honestly, I told my husband, I'm like, God, to be able to function. And I was lucky, I had my last speaking engagement the week before it happened. And the following few days were honestly a blur to me, but I don't think there's a way that I could have had shown my face, or had, I couldn't even talk. I was just like this, I felt like I was this mute. And for people that know me, they're like, she likes to talk. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but not during this time. So it's definitely something that I think companies can also find a way to help them so they can heal better. I mean, I hear women all the time that they end up quitting their jobs because they just can't go back. One of my amazing friends, her assistant lost her baby at 11 weeks and she gave her assistant 6 weeks off to just deal with it. And I'm like, you know, and she even said, even that's not enough, but we know that's something not everybody can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your story, Natalie. I mean, it's so important and I know it's going to help a lot of people. And, you know, again, that's what this is all about, talking taboos to normalize and just be able to have conversations and make things easier and better for people. So thank you again.
Well, thank you. And I love you. And
I love you too.
For all this support. And we'll definitely, when I'm in a more sane place, I will talk a little more research with it. But yes, you're right. We need to talk about money and miscarriages because it's a very real reality for many couples, or just anybody that's going through it. So stay tuned. I'm sure we're going to have so many more and hopefully not as grim, but hopefully helpful.
This is very helpful.
See you in the next one.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.